Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, Text 4, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Saha Muhurtam Abhut Tushnim Krishna Angri Sudhaya Bhrisham Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Nimagnaha Sadhu Nivritaha Samuhurtam Abhut Tushnim Krishnangri Sudhaya Brisham Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Nimagna Sadhu Nivritaha Samahurtam Abhut Tushnim Krishnangri Sudhaya Brisham Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Nimagna Sadhu Nivritaha Ladies, Saha. Uddhava, Muhurtam, for a moment, Abhut became Tushnim, dead silent. Krishna, Angri, the lotus feet of the Lord. Sudhaya, by the nectar. Bhrisham, well matured. Tivrena, by very strong. Bhakti Yogena devotional service, nimagnaha, absorbed in, sadhu, good, nirvritaha, fully in love. For a moment he remained dead silent, and his body did not move. He became absorbed in the nectar of remembering the Lord's lotus feet in devotional ecstasy, and he appeared to be going increasingly deeper into that ecstasy. Purport. On the inquiry by Vidura about Krishna, Uddhava appeared to be awakened from slumber. He appeared to regret that he had forgotten the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus he again remembered the lotus feet of the Lord and remembered all his transcendental loving service unto him. And by so doing, he felt the same ecstasy that he used to feel in the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord is absolute, there is no difference between his remembrance and his personal presence. Thus, Uddhava remained completely silent for a moment. But then he appeared to be going deeper and deeper into ecstasy. Feelings of ecstasy are displayed by highly advanced devotees of the Lord. There are eight kinds of transcendental changes in the body: tears, shivering of the body, perspiration, restlessness, throbbing, choking of the throat, etc. And all were manifested by Uddhava in the presence of Krishna. Om jnanatimirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama shreshtam manamapi shatiputram atrasvarupam rupam tasyagrajam urupurim maturim goshtavartim radha kundam girivaram radhika madhavasham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri guru. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagarna Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tine smarone hoi bigna binashan, anayashe hoi nijaban chita puran. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. In this verse, the words Tivrena Bhakti Yogena are widely known from a well-known verse here in Srimad Bhagavatam, akama sarvakama va moksha kama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is desireless, full of desires, or desiring liberation, one should very intensely worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the same term is given here, but there's a difference in the context. In the Akama Sarvakamova verse in the second canto of Bhagavatam, it's introducing the subject of Krishna consciousness. Shukadev is introducing different stages of God realization and worship. Specifically, just before this, he had mentioned different demigods who can be worshipped, and the kinds of different boons, or rather the kind of boons that you want. You want a new table fan, go to the electric appliance shop. If you want vegetables, go to... No, if you want anything, go to Walmart, right? So So I guess Krishna's like, well, it used to be, there used to be different shops. So if you want this, go to that. If you want this, go to that. And if you want whatever you want, go to Walmart. So Krishna's like that. You want this, you want that. Whatever you want, go to Krishna. So this, but tivrena bhakti yogena, worshipping him with great intensity. So there's a difference here, because this is stated in regard to Uddhava. His bhakti yoga is different from the bhakti yoga of the materialist or the transcendentalist. The materialist who approaches Krishna, his bhakti yoga, it's really not really, well, yeah, you could call it bhakti mishra karma. he's doing work in this world with, but he's adding bhakti because he heard I'll get what I want from Krishna. But these persons mentioned in the second canto, they are these types of persons. They're performing bhakti with the idea of linking with Krishna. The materialist doesn't want to link with Krishna. And the person who's after liberation, they're not particularly interested in linking with Krishna. But they link with Krishna with the idea that, okay, let's do it and I'll get the result that I want. But the person who comes with the idea of worshipping Krishna for the sake, he has no material desire, akamaha. He's from the outset performing bhakti yoga in the true sense of the term. But all of them are recommended to do it, to worship Krishna with great intensity. And the result of all of them is that they'll eventually come to the stage of wanting to actually link with Krishna. Now there's a difference in the bhakti yoga of Uddhava, because his bhakti yoga means he's already linked. It's not a process of linking. He's already linked. And although others are enjoined to take up this bhakti yoga process with great intensity, his link with Krishna is intense. And it's also a matter of performance, that he's still doing bhakti yoga in the sense that you don't give it up. You don't give up hearing and chanting and all these practices when one becomes perfect in Krishna consciousness. Rather, one does so with more intensity. So this is the position of Uddhava. He appeared to regret that he had forgotten the lotus feet of the Lord. Actually, pure devotees, they never forget Krishna. Although it might appear that their consciousness is elsewhere, Krishna told Arjuna, "Mama nusmara yudhya cha," think of me and fight. The thinking bit comes first. That's the fight. Yes, you have to fight. That's what I'm telling you. That's a whole Bhagavad Gita, is to get you to fight. But that's from one perspective. But the message for everyone, that's why Bhagavad Gita is not only for Arjuna, it's for everyone. The message for everyone is to think of Krishna and do your work. What is that? Bhaktivinoda. Nama shroi kori jatana tumi, taka apana kaje. That taking shelter of the holy name, very carefully, go on with your work, your own work, what you're supposed to do. Apana kaj. So that's, for Arjuna, his work was fighting. But the thing is to remember Krishna and go on, not just not do anything. But the another main point that Krishna is stressing repeatedly throughout Bhagavad Gita, to do work. Niyatam kuru karma tvam. All the time, do your work. Again, karma tvam, you have your own particular work to do. So in the course of doing that, it might seem that someone forgets Krishna, just like you might be absorbed in cleaning the floor. So much floor cleaning and everything cleaning has been going on prior to this festival. So it might seem you're fixated on some stain on the floor and you're thinking how to get this off and what kind of chemical I have to bring to do it. So where's the thing? Maybe if you got Krishna. In this regard, I asked a question like this before I was initiated. I was living in the temple and before I was initiated, and Mukunda Das Vanachari was there in the temple, who is now Mukunda Goswami, who Drutakama Prabhu worked with for several years. And was it not? You worked with him closely, that Coming Back book and other projects. So I asked him, how is it you can remember Krishna all the time? We have so many things to do. And he told me he was with Srila Prabhupada at an airport once, and someone, one of the staff, security staff, or I don't know if they had security staff in those days, but anyway, someone, lady, asked, this is in America, asked Srila Prabhupada, oh, what's this all about? And he said, Srila Prabhupada said, well, the idea is to always remember God, always remember Krishna. And she said, well, how can you always remember him when you have so many other things to do? And Srila Prabhupada gave the example that you're doing your work now, but you're also conscious of your hair. That your hair will be nicely ordered. And you see, it's quite common, women, wherever they may be at work or whatever, they bring out their mirror and they look at and see and put their hair all nice and this. And maybe things have changed now. But I don't think so, because however much they try to snuff out the various natural psychologies of the genders, they're there. So Srila Prabhupada said, you may not be directly thinking of your hair, but it's always there in your mind. And you see often there's a little break and immediately out comes the mirror and the powder and all this kind of thing. That was the example Srila Prabhupada gave from contemporary life. Srila Prabhupada, I don't think that one's in Shastra, but Srila Prabhupada was able to bring out that example. So Uddhava appeared to a forgotten Krishna, but he's always intensely absorbed in thought of Krishna, and Krishna's always intensely absorbed in thought of him. Uddhava is very dear to Krishna, as Krishna personally told him, Anatata me priyatama atmayonena shankaraha nacha sankarshano nashrir naivatma chayata bhavan. Krishna told Uddhava that no one is as dear to me, not even Brahma, who is born from my own navel, Lord Shiva, my brother Balaram, my wife. No one is as dear to me as, and the last word comes in, and Uddhava must have been thinking he's going to say the gopis, because Uddhava knows, but he says, as you. He said to you, no one is as dear to me as you. Elsewhere in Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, he says that actually the gopis of Vrindavan, they're the topmost devotees, but Krishna had so much feeling speaking to Uddhava in great length. The same teachings he spoke to Arjuna, but in more detail. Arjuna also, he told him, Bhaktosime Priya Cheti. rahasyameta sakarcheti rahasyameta duttamam. Because you're my devotee as well as my friend, I'm now telling you this topmost mystery. And it gets mysterious just right after that, because Arjuna says, yeah, this is a mystery. How come you're born? You're speaking to the sun god. You're just the same age as me. So immediately Arjuna says, hey, that's a mystery. And that question brings out the import of all Krishna had spoken in the second chapter about the soul being eternal and going from body to body. So Uddhava is very dear to Krishna. Among all the devotees in Dwaraka, how many devotees are there in Dwaraka? Even this Ugrasena Maharaj had something like 130 trillion bodyguards just in just one palace. What is it? Quadrillion? 10 quadrillion. What's that? That's 10 raised to the power of 5, is it? Or whatever it is, it's a lot more people that are on the planet right now. Huh? 10 to the power of 15. That's getting like the odds of life springing from matter, right? So yeah, it's probably, if you stood everyone, if you had enough humans and you stood them all shoulder to shoulder, I don't know if there'd even be enough space on the earth to fit them all in. On at least on the solid parts of the earth. So Krishna, and they're just the guards in Maharaj Ugrasena's palace. How is that possible? What's the answer? Dwaraka is part of the spiritual world. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says this is in the spiritual world. It's like that. There may be not so many right here, down here. But anyway, even in Dwaraka, Krishna has 16, even in this Dwaraka, which we can still visit while you can, if you can, when you can also visit, unless you're a real hardcore Vrindavan devotee and you won't go to Dwaraka. But anyway, Nityananda Prabhu went there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also went there. When did he go? Remember that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went? He went to Dwaraka, yeah. He went, first of all, with the ISKCON Padyatra. Okay. And then he did Parikrama, all the way up to Mayapur. And he's been traveling around ever since. So there's so many devotees, 16,108 queens, each of them had 10 sons and one daughter, and all of his sons had 10 sons and one daughter, and that was just Krishna's family, and there's so many others. They all love Krishna, but the most exalted, that was an accepted fact in Dwaraka, that the most exalted is Uddhava. And his reputation became solidified when he was one day caught murmuring at the clouds, seeing the monsoon clouds. Now there must be monsoon clouds over Dwaraka. There must be, must be still daytime there, so probably monsoon clouds over Dwaraka now. And Uddhava was outside the city, absorbed in looking at the clouds and murmuring like a madman, because of thinking this is like Krishna. So his reputation became solidified. And he was sent to Vrindavan by Krishna. to give a message to the residents of Vrindavan, to give them good spiritual instruction, and he got spiritual instruction from them. Not that they told him any philosophy, but he could see that compared to himself, who was known as the greatest devotee in Dwarka, his position, he thought, better that I become some blade of grass in Vrindavan or some herbs so that the gopis can sometimes walk on my head and then I'll be blessed. Such a great devotee. And we're hearing about him today. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam means in relation to Bhagavan. So this book is Bhagavatam, in relation to Bhagavan. Also in relation to his devotees. There's no meaning to be God unless you have devotees. The idea of the impersonal absolute without any form or feelings is not appreciated by the followers of the Vaishnav followers of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are impersonalists also, but that they the impersonalists are described in the very beginning of Bhagavatam, in the second verse. Dharma projita kaitava atra. Cheating religion is rejected herein. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that dharma de mokha vancha kaitav pradhan jaha hoite krishna bhakti hoi antardhan. He explains that this cheating in the name of religions means dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, which are considered, that's what it's all about, right? That's what the Vedas are all about. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that this kind of dharma, or this kind of religious understanding, is actually for cheating. Cheating the conditioned souls, and among them the worst is the idea that I will merge into the existence of the Lord, because by that devotion to Krishna is completely vanished. So Bhagavatam is about Krishna, which means about devotion, which means devotees. There's no meaning to a king without subjects. There's no meaning to being a devotee without Krishna. So we're hearing today about Uddhava, not exactly about Krishna. But if we hear about Uddhava, we have to hear about Krishna. If we hear about Krishna, we should hear about Uddhava. It's all in the package. The symptoms of Uddhava's devotional ecstasy are being described. Srila Prabhupada writes, feelings of ecstasy are displayed by highly advanced devotees of the Lord. Here the word displayed, it doesn't mean making a show, but it means automatically they manifest in the body of a devotee. Although we also see that great devotees, they often don't show these. They may not show these symptoms. Definitely Krishna didn't want Arjuna to show them when he was fighting in the battlefield. He didn't want Arjuna to become stunned in ecstasy. He had to go on with his fighting. Bhima, he had his biggest moment of ecstasy until he killed Duryodhana and was killing Dushasana. So he expressed his ecstasy by drinking his blood and saying, this is sweeter than the nectar of heaven, sweeter than the mother's milk. And he expressed his ecstasy in Bibhatsarasa, the disgusting rasa, you could say. Devotees may or may not exhibit these ecstasies. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would check his ecstasy in the presence of materialistic people, which became increasingly difficult for him toward the end of his pastimes. He would mostly openly express that only at night with Surup Damodar and Ramananda Rai. The actual position of a devotee, a Madhvacharya says, can be seen by their steady application in devotional service. So, Tivrena Bhakti Yoga. Their Tivra Bhakti Yoga, by their continuing to go on with the process. It's subtle, we're talking about psychology here. We can't understand what's in someone's mind. It may be that someone's following everything, but they're harboring material desires also. We're hearing about Uddhava, great devotees. It's important for us to hear. By hearing about them, then we become purified, we become attached to them, and we develop a desire to be like them, to follow in their footsteps. We have to hear about someone or something. We're having a Shravan Kirtan camp. Shravan Kirtan means Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Otherwise, people are doing Shravan Kirtan of various materialistic people they like to hear about. For the last 10 years or so, the central object of attention in public discourse in the United States and other parts of the world has been a person with the initials DT. By hearing about him, you want to become like him. I think it's better to hear about Uddhava. No disrespect or for any of the other figures on the public stage. Actually, they're all what's the word? The garhaniya. What's the word? They're blasphemable. They're all criticizable. They're all harava bhaktasya kuto mahan guna manoritena sati davato bahi. Where are the good qualities in anyone who's not a devotee? It might seem, but it's all on the external platform. It's not real or permanent or eternal. It's not connected with Krishna. So, people, by hearing about such persons, they develop a desire to be like them, or even if you don't desire to be like him, someone like Mr. DT has his friends and his enemies, and his enemies seem to hate him more than his friends like him. But either way, by thinking of him, so much thinking about a materialistic person, then that goes into our consciousness. So better we hear about great devotees. And it goes into our consciousness, and we may, the characteristics of such a person may rub off on us. We may think, well, it's okay, it's nice to be like that, good to be like that. Srila Prabhupada was very pleased when such an influential person as George Harrison took up Krishna consciousness at some level. He was serious. Srila Prabhupada was very pleased, and he wanted him to make songs about Krishna because he knew George Harrison was very influential. We should make Srila Prabhupada very influential He is very influential, but in the world, Ebejosh Gushok Tribhuvan, we should make his glories well known throughout all the worlds. We're doing that by distributing his books. We're introducing these people who are so far away from Krishna. What does the average person do in an American city like Atlanta? They say they get up at some time of the day or night and eating, sleeping, mating, defending, sense gratification, various forms. What do they know about Uddhava? They never even heard of Krishna, what to speak of Uddhava. And we're giving them these books, introducing them to Uddhava, introducing them to the Pandavas, introducing them to Srila Prabhupada and the gopis and Radha Krishna. It's the best thing that anyone could ever do for anyone. The greatest welfare work is to introduce people to this life of Krishna consciousness, a completely different perspective on reality as they presume it to be. It's a long way from getting a book, first of all, to tears, shivering of the body, perspiration, and so on. It's a long journey. Some of us are on the journey. We may see we still have a long way to go. But we're on the journey. But even to get people onto that journey, it seems to be so difficult. There's so much resistance or just non-interest. People are interested in politics and sports and family affairs and having a good time and issues, gender issues, vegan issues, so many issues. There's more and more. Now there's Israel-Palestine issue, there's another one to throw into the mix. Everyone has to have an opinion on everything. Russia, Ukraine, everyone has to. But in this way our attention gets diverted more and more and more away. And the whole culture is just set up to send us further away from Krishna. We got the human life, which is meant for God realization, and is supposed to be Kaumara Acharet Pragyo Dharman Bhagavataneha Durlabhang Manu Sham Janma Tadapya Dhruva Maratadam. It's supposed to be from the beginning of life, learning about Krishna. But instead, they're forcibly sent to a slaughterhouse to learn that you are this body. Well, that starts from the moment they come out of their mother's body. You are this body, and then you go to school and learn where you are a bunch of chemicals. Chemicals thou art, and unto chemicals thou shalt return. There's no soul. They don't say it directly, but they say that you are just another body which was produced from a long chain of chemical reactions going back to the Big Bang. And we're now living at the pinnacle of civilization, America in the 21st century. That's what everyone thought, right? The British thought that when they had their empire in. And then the Romans thought that, and the Greeks thought that, and the Egyptians, and the Carthaginians, and the different Chinese empire, they all think, we're at the top, we're the best civilization. And you get all this drummed into you, and people, they can't believe, even if they hear about this, they can't believe what is this talking about? Krishna, he's so many forms. Sometimes he has four arms, sometimes he has eight arms. Where's the proof? We never saw anyone with four arms. Maybe that's human devolution. But he's not human, right? Humans don't have four arms. It's very, very hard to get there. We want to change the whole way of thinking of the whole society so that people who are born into this Vaishnava culture, they can take it up from the very beginning. It becomes natural. Just like it's almost natural now to anyone growing up, it's natural for them to believe in the theories of biological evolution and all the other rubbish they teach you in the schools. But if you're raised in a whole culture of Krishna consciousness, then it's natural you'll believe what's in Srimad Bhagavatam. Even if you come to Bhagavad, these rascals in these first Indologists, right? They discovered, hey, look, there's something, there's a whole great culture here, all this Vedic literature. So they translated it and put their own poison into it. So that right going on now from the 19th century, if you want to, you can study Vedic literature in the universities. And you'll get all the poison mixed in. That is, just like it states in the Gita, there's allusions to Lokayatakas and the Vaibhashikas, which are different kinds of Buddhists. So it must have been after Buddha came, right? Mahabharata must have been after Buddha came, because and these philosophies came. But these are perennial, these kind of philosophies. They're never completely absent in the world. And they come again and again. But if you go to the university, then you'll find out how. Actually, the Puranas, they were, Manu Sanghita was written by the Brahmins to establish their superiority and so many things. So many nonsense, rascal things. So, it's a tough job, but it's the age of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by this chanting, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, the mirror of the heart is cleansed, that works individually and collectively also. Without a clean heart, we can't accept the message of Bhagavatam. We have to have faith. Begins with faith. Not blind faith. We have to have faith though. Shraddha vanjan hoy bhakti adhikari. One can take up devotional service if one has faith. There are so many people trying to give different ideas to break the faith in various ways. Now we heard yesterday how there are so many things being preached that, well, Prabhupada didn't get it quite right, but anyway, the next generation can sort it all out and make right all the things that Prabhupada taught us that were wrong. Sometimes we're thinking is we should call Kalki Avatar early. But the whole society is set up so we don't accept the what should be obvious truths of, for instance, reincarnation. What should be obvious truths of the presence of spirit everywhere. The obvious truth that as living beings we're not just matter. But they've got a demoniac culture. An educational system. Dhrusakama Prabhu has dedicated so many years of his life just for trying to get people to accept the fact that humans didn't pop into existence. What is it now, the latest? 100,000 years ago. Homo sapiens. 300,000 years. Yeah, it's always going backwards, right? But not far enough. I think when I was a kid at school, Homo sapiens first appeared about 60,000 years ago or so. And it's gradually going backwards. But they before that there was, what was that before that? Neanderthal man or something. We used to joke at school that one of our teachers, we called him Neanderthal man.
because he looked his, you, he looked just like that. So there's still those kind of skulls. It's such a job to just get people to, and even if the evidence is there, there's so much evidence of intelligent human life going back millions of years using their geological and what do you call that, analysis tools, do you still use that carbon 12 dating or something, their tools of analysis, using their evidence, but when their evidence comes, it's not evidence. And when we find one bone here and then another bone 20 miles away, and we put them together and make a whole skeleton, and that's proof, and put it in the Smithsonian Institute. They made that in London, the Natural History Museum, just as a monument to Darwinism. So it's a tough job, but that's one of the things I wanted to ask you if we get some time. How is it going? Because it's been a struggle, but it should be that people are gradually accept how to even get the airtime, how to get people to listen. But it will have its effect. Reincarnation, it's difficult to deny. Gradually, there's no campaign, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books is there, but there's no strategic campaign to instill in the public consciousness that reincarnation is a fact in the Western world. But still, so many people accept it, or kind of accept it, or at least they've heard of it, because there's just so much anecdotal evidence of it. So that's a beginning. It's a lot of work to do. We have to distribute these books, introduce people to Krishna. First, and they have to understand and accept, I'm not the body. What if we actually understood and accepted that, what a change that would make in human society. Yeah? Then we wouldn't have Palestine-Israel problem, Ukraine-Russia problem, Democrat-Republican problem. We would still have social problems because we're not perfect. Oh, here in America, black-white problem, right? Racial problems. We would have to some extent, because we're all conditioned souls, but the Varnashram system is for regulating that on the basis of knowledge that theoretically we know I'm not the body, but practically we're conditioned souls, so we have to act with the propensities we have, according to Krishna's system, to become purified and go on hearing Stane Stita Shutikatang Tanuvang Manobi Ye Prayasho Jitititopi Apitai Sri Loka. Staying in a Varnashram position, going on hearing about Krishna, we can conquer Krishna, who is unconquerable. So this is the process. Hearing about Krishna will purify. Not many people are qualified for hearing about Krishna. In one sense, everyone is qualified, especially in the human form. But generally people's minds are so agitated, or they have no interest anyway in hearing about Krishna. But we should go on speaking the topics of Bhagavatam as we've heard it from Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, we may think it's hard to get people to think about Krishna, to hear about Krishna. I heard what would happen in Los Angeles when Srila Prabhupada would first come. The first day he'd come, the temple room would be packed. First two or three days he'd be giving class, and then he would stay there for long periods of time, for more than a month or two. And gradually the number of devotees coming would reduce until there was just a fixed core. So they're very enthusiastic at first, but then Srila Prabhupada was giving the same, actually very beautiful classes. But the interest, not so much interest, even from his own disciples. So we may think that we have to speak in a way that's more entertaining, or we have to speak on peripheral subjects. That may be peripheral subjects to try to bring people in. Srila Prabhupada had his first Back to Godhead articles. He would introduce them with some topical subject at the time and then bring it to Krishna consciousness. Puranas and Mahabharata, most of them are peripheral subjects. A lot of it is peripheral subject, talking about different demigods and different things, but the aim is to bring people to Krishna. But at least within the Krishna consciousness movement, there should be regular delineation of the essence, Bhagavatam, as it is. Those who are eager to hear about Uddhava, Vidura, in the Bhagavatam line, they're very fortunate. It's a sign of being advanced in Krishna consciousness. And they say, well, I'm not very advanced. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking, from one perspective, yeah, we've got a long way to go to be at this level of Uddhava, but on the other hand, those who are even interested in listening about Uddhava, they're already far, far above those who are not interested in hearing about Uddhava, which means pretty much everyone. So, thank you for coming. And we're all getting a chance to engage in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho, which means also hearing and chanting about the great devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, who made this possible for us. If he hadn't written these books, it's really great mercy that Srila Prabhupada wrote these books. If he hadn't, and we had someone else, who knows what ideas they might have put in. Srila Prabhupada, he was so busy traveling, preaching, but he gave his priority writing the books, the law books. This is the standard. Hare Krishna. Anything? My exalted God siblings like to say something.
You mentioned in your class that we're distributing these books, but at the same...
Please put the mic closer to you.
Yes, so many books are going out, but in order for people to actually make a difference in their life, they have to have faith and a clean heart. Mm. So, can you...
What do we do for that? Then we also have to do Harinam festivals, make different kinds of propaganda. The books themselves can have instant effect. Often devotees say, well, I first saw Srila Prabhupada and it was immediately electrifying effect, transformative effect. But the books, they also, that happens. Just by reading the books, people are electrified. Most people who saw Srila Prabhupada, it didn't click for them. Thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people saw Srila Prabhupada. It didn't click. For some people it did. So the same with the books. It's not going to click with everyone. But anyone who saw Srila Prabhupada was immensely benefited. So in the same way, anyone who gets Srila Prabhupada's books, they're immensely benefited. If the book is in their house, they most of them are eating meat and doing all kinds of things, but the book is there, it's going to benefit them. But we also have to do public Harinam and make our presence felt to generate interest in these things. And we have to be the Hare Krishna movement. You have to be moving. Yeah, give it over here. Mataji, come. Oh, is someone here? Anyway.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class.
Hare Krishna.
I think that, I shouldn't say I think, better what should I say? But
I heard in Berry Place that if you say I think, you should go and lock yourself in the cupboard.
Okay, well, I took it back. Anyway, so
I like Berry Place Temple.
I like going to London because the Harinam is so, it's great because all the Muslims come and watch it.
They're more interested than others, aren't they?
They're very, you know, like London, who've ever been there, it's like the shopping center of the world. Oxford Street is probably the busiest street in the world. And all these Muslims from all over the Middle East who have a boring life, you know. Underneath the, you know, robes, they wear jeans and Western clothes. Yeah. But if you watch them, they're so fascinated by hearing the Harinam. And they all take pictures of it. And so this is sowing the seeds, the holy name. So when people go back to the Bahrain, Dubai, wherever it is, and they show their friends the chanting and they hear the holy name, so the power of the holy name is so great, like Haridas Thakur, he was, you know, glorifying the holy name, and all the non-living entities, they're getting some benefit by hearing the holy name. So all these people in London, whether they're atheists or Muslims or whatever, they're getting the, they're hearing the holy name. So this is very wonderful how all these Muslim people are getting so much benefit, and eventually they'll become devotees.
New York also.
Yeah.
The Harinam is going on. People from all over the world are there.
Thank you for the class. Maharaj, so you talked about the demons and how we shouldn't be talking about them and meditating upon them. But what about all of our demons? You know, I mean, not personal ones.
Yeah, I have
but
so
I mean,
many demons in my heart.
But besides those, I mean like Ravana. Like, I meditate on him, like, wow, he has really, like, demoniac qualities, unbelievable, you know, and Hiranyakashipu.
I don't want to meditate on the demons in my heart.
No,
I guess,
but
I guess I should try and get them out.
These other ones, so that is supposed to be purifying, though, right? Like, if we meditate on Ravana, you know.
Well, if we meditate on Ram killing Ravana. But if we think, yeah, I want to be like Ravana, that's not good. What do you think?
Right, right, but still thinking.
You want to be kidnapped by Krishna or you want to be kidnapped by Ravana?
But, you know, leading up to the killing, there's a lot. Just reading of his character and all. It's very colorful and easy to meditate on.
yeah.
So that's also. Like, if we die thinking of a demon that Krishna killed, will we go back?
You have to think of Krishna killing him. If you just think of the demon, yang yang vapi swaram bhavam tyajyante eva kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavita. You're not going to start preaching that we should become worshippers of Ravana, are you?
Not worshippers. But, you know, it's part of, like, the power.
Yeah,
of,
Narad Muni says they're more intense than the devotees, right?
And then it shows how powerful the Lord is that he can kill such personalities.
Asura Shakal, Pailo Charan, Bhaktivinoda Take Boshi. Bhaktivinoda is saying, all the demons attained your lotus feet, Krishna, but I'm still here. What happened to me? I got left behind.
The materialists, you were talking about all their sense gratification, but they actually, many of them perform a severe tapasya. You know, they work very hard, they rise early in the morning.
Yeah.
And so a lot of tapasya.
Yeah, they do a lot of tapasya, but it doesn't purify them. It's all sense gratification, it's all aimed at sense gratification, just like cleaning the floor in Krishna's temple is devotional service. It's all meant for Krishna. If you clean the floor in the brothel, then it's, you don't get the same benefit.
And, could you give some more examples of peripheral subjects you were talking about? How sometimes that kind of takes...
Life coaching, personality development, yoga, Ayurveda, psychology, Hare Krishna. But you can take up such subjects if it's very clearly with the aim of bringing people to Krishna, just like I was giving the example of Dhrutakama Prabhu. He has his whole huge book, Forbidden Archaeology. I don't know if... Is the word Krishna in there? Maybe it says you're members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness somewhere. But dedicated, the book is dedicated to Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Otherwise, yeah, it's a huge book. But it's all meant for bringing people to Krishna. But it's a very... It's setting the... What did you say? It's setting the, correcting the foundations. It's just like Srila Prabhupada, he said to Brahmananda and Bhagavat in Africa, he said, you won't see the result in this lifetime.
Well, that's a very important point. You know, that practically everything we're trying to do to spread the Krishna consciousness movement has a long way to go until it becomes the most influential thing in society. But to get back to the stones and bones of forbidden archaeology, that's not the main evidence. For me as a devotee, the main evidence is the statements of Shastra.
Jai!
Now, it just so happens that our acharyas, including Srila Prabhupada, have said that, you know, if you have pratyaksha, sense evidence, and anumana, logic, that support shabda, shastra, the conclusions of shastra, then they can be used to draw the attention of people to Shastra. So it's not that the pratyaksha and anumana are the main thing, but if they can be used to draw the attention of some people to a Shastra conclusion, then it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
But it has to be done expertly.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you can think that Shastra needs to be verified by...
Very good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's... yeah, it has to be done very carefully.
We don't... There's no question of rejecting pratyaksha or anumana. But they should be understood in relation to Shastra.
Yeah.
Not vice versa.
Yeah, so that's the point. And then the book was designed to get people to ask, okay, you have evidence that contradicts the current theories. What is your alternative? And that takes you way beyond the archaeology to questions related to you're not the body. In other words, before you ask the question, where did human beings come from, you should first of all understand what a human being is. You know, and there's consciousness, there's mind, there's intelligence.
I'm just going to interrupt you. Could we make one session in this camp when you and I are sitting here? I want to ask you questions.
Sure.
And then you can explain in more detail, because I wanted to ask you personally. But I think everyone would be interested to know. So,
yeah. Well, just tell me when and where.
Then I have a talk tomorrow midday, don't I? We could do it tomorrow?
Sure.
Yeah, let's get into it in more detail then.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for such a wonderful class. I'm Rasika Govinda Das, visiting from Berkeley Temple. I'm very happy to be here today. My question is that you were mentioning about our leaders with demoniac personalities. And we see that over the years, no one in American society has been getting any pleasure from politics. No one has been getting any pleasure from education system here. And we see we have so many more issues that have, since, you know, the 1950s to now, we have more issues than ever before. You know, so what is it? Do you think that people really desire to suffer here? Although people are, you know, people are sense gratifying, looking for enjoyment, but are we so lost in mental health that people are actually looking for? Are we so lost with our mental health today, people are actually looking for misery now?
It may be. The more you pursue sense gratification, the more you suffer. And this, the whole raison d'etre, the whole purpose of American society is to enjoy. Eat, sleep, drink, be merry, and enjoy. Kali Yuga influence, tatas chanu dinan dharma satyam shocham kshamadaya kalena balina rajan nang shandaya balang smriti. In Kali Yuga, with every day, religiousness, tatas chanu dinan dharma, truthfulness, purity and cleanliness, tolerance, compassion, then lifespan, and bodily strength, mental strength, they all decrease. Yeah, we should stand up and tell people, look, this whole society is, we're conjointly working against each other. Our whole aim of life, misguided aim of life. The totally misguided material civilization, that's a phrase that Srila Prabhupada used. In a book that's coming up, I have a whole list of adjectives that Srila Prabhupada uses. Hog civilization, dog civilization, animal civilization, less than animal civilization, vagina-licking civilization, and so on. There's a whole list of adjectives Prabhupada uses. It's insane. Hare Krishna. We'll finish this session here now. Oh, gosh, this should have probably... Hiranyakashipu civilization.